Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your podcast, your smart speaker, the ESPN app. From one New York team to another, Mike T. joins us now. Key and Mike, Jay and I were just talking about the Knicks with DiPietro and Rothenberg, but Mike Tannenbaum is giving us Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. First of all, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you.
How are you? Always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Mike Tannenbaum, when he shows up. So we got to talk about the Giants, Mike. Yesterday there was a report about Joe Judge's future and that he would be staying as the coach of the New York Football Giants. I want you to listen to Joe Judge being asked about it.
All right, let me make this really perfectly clear. On mine or anybody else's hypothetical future, I'm never going to comment. Everybody understand that?
Yep.
Point blank. So you can ask me about Pat Graham, not going to answer. You can ask me about Jerome Henderson, not going to answer. You can ask me about a number of coaches. I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to answer myself either. I'm not going to speak on hypotheticals. All right. I'm interested in building this team, moving forward, and our focus after today will shift to the Cowboys.
So that's Joe Judge, who's been extremely optimistic through this disastrous season for the Giants. And for some, that's just too much. They don't like the optimism. Here's Michael Kay and Don LaGreca from The Michael Kay Show responding to Joe Judge's optimism.
He's losing me. I mean, they're serving us poop, and he's telling us it's chocolate pudding. I mean, I really like what I see. No, really, you're the only one who's seeing it. Results mean something, don't they?
We know more than you do, and you're supposed to. I'm not claiming I know more than an NFL head coach. Even the worst coach in the history of the NFL knows 10 times more than I do about football. They're supposed to. They live and they breathe it. They know it. They've got information that we don't have. But the one thing we both share is to look at the final score and the final record of your team. So it should be getting better to the point where eventually we would see it. The doctor finds the malignancy before anybody else can see it, but then eventually it exposes itself. Eventually, if you have something building here, we should see it. The team continues to get worse.
Well, listen, Michael Kay's disgusting metaphor aside, just disgusting, Michael Kay. Does his optimism bother anyone? Does it bother you, Mike, like it bothered Michael Kay and Don LaGreca?
Not really, because it's about accountability and building a culture, and it's about what is acceptable standards. And really what Joe Judge is saying is, if I'm on the same page with my locker room, the Maurers and the Tishes, the rest of you guys, it's all noise. And I think really sometimes what coaches do, guys, he's talking to his team. He's just using the media. Is what he's saying to the team is, just ignore the noise. There's one sign Coach Belichick has up in Foxborough. Every player sees it. Ignore the noise. And what he's saying is, guys, it doesn't matter. Let's go out there and compete and get better. The part that's disappointing me, and I made a similar mistake when I was with the Dolphins, their backup quarterback isn't good enough. The last 2 weeks, we've seen backup quarterbacks at Gardner Minshew and Taysom Hill go into MetLife and beat the Jets. Mike Lennon can't do that. They've gone the road the last 2 weeks. And what's disappointing is, give us a different game plan, Freddie Kitchens. We saw Bill Belichick, of all people, go out to Buffalo, run and throw the ball three times. If you think you're going on the road and compete against that Dolphin defense or stand toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert, with Mike Lennon, that, to me, is a much more of – that's the bigger issue, which is, give me game plan-specific ways we could go win games.
Mike, I was also going to say, I don't understand why they don't utilize Saquon Barkley more. And you talk about changing up game plans. Look, I don't think Freddie Kitchens is going to be the OC of the future. I think he's a guy who's a plug-in. I like Freddie Kitchens, but I don't think he's the ultimate answer for them. But I just go back to when John Mara brought on both Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur. Like, he fired them before year three. I remember this was a really big thing. And one of John Mara's biggest regrets, Mike, was that he will always say, like, I felt like I should have given been more time. I should have been more helpful. And even in this intro of Joe Judge, he's like, hey, we're going to give this guy more time. So Joe Judge's job will be fine for next year. I've always thought that. The question is, what will that mean for Dave Gettleman and the pieces that they surround him with and helping the right infrastructure be in place to help this team go next level?
Hey,
that's the question.
Key, I want to ask you a question, because optimism aside, I liked the answer about, hey, I'm never going to answer a question, a hypothetical about the future, about anyone. I'm just not answering that. I kind of like that. What did you think of what Coach said?
I mean, what else is he going to say, right? He's not going to say, well, I'm going to fire my staff. He's not going to say that, so he's going to tell you. Although I do know that there's going to be changes made to his staff at the end of the season. They got about 4 games to go, so the best thing to say is just ignore the noise and move forward, and we're going to continue to keep trying to build this team the way that I envision it, and that's pretty much it. So I'm okay with what he said. I don't really care, to be honest with you, Max. At the end of the day, they're going to be changes to the front office as well as his coaching staff.
Yeah, Mike, what I like about it is that once you set the precedent, this is my philosophy. I deal with right now. First of all, it's a good thing to do, deal with what's right in front of you. I'm never going to answer a question about anybody. That takes it out of the kind of realm of coaches going, well, and then they start giving you the double talk. I kind of like it. If you're the GM of the Giants, are you thinking, all right, I like the way he did that or not?
I really do, and let's compare it to some – like. Urban Meyer, to me, like, when you look at what's going on in Jacksonville, not only what he's saying, but how he's saying it, he seems, like, disinterested, angry. I feel like Joe Judge, to me, at least, like, okay, I got a coach. Like, again, sometimes, and Key, you know this, like, when coaches get up there each week, sometimes they're talking to the locker room, and I think, like, what Joe Judge is trying to say, guys, like, I'm going to, right now, it's whatever, December 12th, 13th, 14th, we know for the next 4 weeks that's the only story they're going to write because we're out of it, and I'm going to try to nip it in the bud right now.
So, Mike, we're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. This is a question we're asking on this show. Micah Parsons is the best defensive rookie since blank. Who is it for you? Best defensive rookie since who?
Ooh, boy, that's a good question. I mean, just to be like, I probably Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis, when he walked into the building, like, changed our program overnight. Just from a standpoint, he was the best player on the field, and he could take the opposing team's best receiver away. Micah Parsons is changing game plans. So, to me, it's probably been that long.
Because people are asking about, is he, you know, like, LT's name has now come up. Is he the best defensive rookie since LT? Doesn't mean he's as good as LT. I mean, just since LT. It would mean that he's better than Revis as a rookie, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's apples and oranges.
Yeah, right. Two different kinds of play. But listen, this is where it all takes me, as all things do.
Uh-oh. Here it goes.
Now, Micah Parsons went 12th to the Cowboys.
Here
right?
we go.
This has to be a Dave Gettleman drafting.
You already know.
I can see Max's
coming.
Body language.
Everything just sprouted up.
Because it killed me when the Giants took the – now, they had to take the package of draft picks from the Bears because it was a good deal, and they have so many holes to fill. But I just – like, think about this. We talked about Justin Herbert and the mistakes the Giants made in the draft that cost them Herbert. Because number two pick overall, his first pick, Gettleman takes Saquon Barkley. The next year, he reaches for Daniel Jones. He reached for a running back second. He reached for a quarterback sixth. Now, Justin Herbert's available. Oh, we already have our quarterback, right? But could add Nick Chubb in the second round of the Barkley draft, right? Oh, Nick Chubb and Quentin Nelson instead of Saquon Barkley and Will Hernandez, right? That's why you don't draft a running back so high. And I love Saquon. Now, they don't have Justin Herbert. They don't have the guys they need on the line, et cetera. But they made so many mistakes in the draft that here is the next Lawrence Taylor, maybe, right? Like, a guy who people are asking about and invoking the name LT. But they had to pass on him because they have so many holes to fill. Mike, I'm gonna have a stroke on the air right now. I'm really upset about this.
Hey, don't do that. Key and Jay Will, I don't know about you guys. I would love to play Max in poker because he has no poker face. Yeah, about 3 minutes ago, before he went to the diatribe, I'm like, this has to be about the Giants drafting. I knew it.
But it's not even about the Giants drafting. It's about the fact that the rival found a way to get the best defensive player, and they get the draft
and guys,
right, and we don't.
Here's the bad news.
Send Parsons to the Cowboys!
Right, and here's the bad news for you guys. Micah Parsons is great, and he's going to get better. Oh. The New York Giants better be careful of this. When you think about Micah Parsons, Randy Gregory, and DeMarcus Lawrence, those three guys have only been on the field now for 48 plays together. The Dallas Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl because they have the best defense in the NFL when they're healthy.
Key, at least the Giants have fixed the offense. Oh, no, it's the Cowboys who fixed the offense. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's Michael Parsons is a guy. I love Revis. Revis was obviously – I would have loved to have played against him, but he obviously was the shutdown corner of his generation. But Michael Parsons is a game changer to a different level. He could actually win a Super Bowl and take a team to a Super Bowl by itself as the type of talent he has. So I think that's why a lot of conversations come up with the name LT in front of it, because that's what Lawrence Taylor was able to do. at the position where guy said, I don't care what you do, go get me one of those.
Can you explain how, Key, what is it about when your eye is on Parsons, why do you say that player can win you a Super Bowl on the defense? What does he do that can win you a Super Bowl?
Well, he's a nightmare for either tackle. He's a nightmare for either tight end and a tackle. He's a nightmare for running back, tight end, and a tackle. So, and on top of that, he strikes fear into your quarterback, because your quarterback comes to the line of scrimmage, where in the hell is 11 at? Oh, okay, so now I got to change my protection. Not only do I got to change the protection, I got to know where he's at all times. And even if he's not getting to me and getting a sack, he's getting to me and scaring the you-know-what out of me, because he's hitting me every time I deliver the football. So therefore, I'm not getting rid of the football in rhythm and in time. I'm rushing my throws. And when that happens, all of a sudden, I'm rushing my throw. It's a pick six to the defense. I'm rushing my throw. Now it bounces off the chest of the running back into the hands of the linebacker. There's a pick there. That's the sort of stuff that change a game and can win a game for you.
It's so interesting to me because Keyshawn Johnson, Super Bowl champion on the offense, says the Cowboys can't win or can win a Super Bowl right now. Because of a defensive player, Micah Parsons. But Ryan Clark, Super Bowl champion from a defense, disagrees with Key. Listen to Ryan Clark.
This Dak Prescott, the guy playing football now, cannot win a championship. They cannot be a Super Bowl team with number four playing at the level he's playing at. So if that doesn't change, we'll be having the same conversation we've had for years about the Cowboys. They'll be sitting home watching the Super Bowl with us.
Saying, like, Dak Prescott could drag it down, Key.
Dak Prescott could drag it down, but he's not going to drag it down. As I said yesterday on our show, and I'll reiterate it again, even though Ryan Clark essentially said the same thing I said. If he doesn't fix his mistakes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, the LA Rams will cash in on those mistakes, unlike the Washington football team or the New Orleans Saints. They will cash in. All he has to do is fix the mistakes. If he fixed those little bit of mistakes, he could take them to the Super Bowl along with the defense. If he doesn't fix the mistakes, he's going to hurt the defense. It's simple. It's not that he can't do it. He's got to fix the mistakes. And Tannenbaum knows that. Mike knows that.
Yeah, I see it a little bit different from this standpoint. I think, now, the only X factor to me are two players, Za'Darius Smith and Jaire Alexander, in terms of coming back for Green Bay. Beyond those two players, I think the Cowboy defense, because they have four blue chippers, the three guys up front, and Trayvon Diggs, I think they have the ability to really be a difference-making defense, Key. And if that's the case, I think if Dak plays B-plus or better, they're going to be fine. And I think
I agree with you too, Mike. But being fine, you know you can't turn the ball over.
Right. Agreed.
It's not going to happen.
Mike and Key, a question for you guys. You know, we talk about Dak, and obviously the play could be better. Like, how much emphasis do we put on Kellen Moore and his ability to those plays, Mike, and how he's calling them? Like, how much of that factors into it?
But when you're paying, and I'm the biggest Dak Prescott fan out there, but when you're making $40 million a year and you know that you have a two-score lead, the one thing you can't do is turn the ball over.
Exactly.
Just slide. And if I'm Kellen Moore, if that's a rookie, if that's Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, I'm probably calling it differently. But I got to trust Dak to know that, hey, I know the game situation. Just throw the ball in the dirt if it's not there.
You know, something that Louis Riddick has been tweeting some great stats recently, like analytics type stuff. I quoted his tweet on the air yesterday on the TV on This Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN. handsome host. About Kyler Murray. But listen to this one, guys. And this is to your point, Mike. This is from Louis Riddick. Over the previous 20 years, the Patriots have a plus 213 turnover margin. That's over 100 takeaways better than any other team. 100 takeaways better than any other team. Protecting the football more than, like, who's your quarterback? Right. And what's the takeaway differential?
Right. Now, part of that's an interesting stat. I'd love to have the context of takeaways when you have the lead tied or behind, because of Tom Brady, you're going to have the lead. You're going to force your opponent to throw the ball late in the game where you're going to get strip sacks and picks. I mean, they're still historic on a lot of levels. But when we would evaluate quarterbacks, we would look at their stats with how are they with the lead, how are they when the game's tied, and how they play.
But to your point and to Key's point, what Belichick said, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, it seems to me his first rule is don't beat yourself.
100%.
And Dak has done things recently, and it didn't, as Key points out, it didn't result in a loss. But in the playoffs, it could easily.
Right. And, but that's where you would think Dak would have that cleaned up. And they wouldn't be in this position to be a championship contender without Dak. So he didn't play great on Sunday. Knowing Dak's character, he'd be the first one to say it. And I think it's a small bump in the road. The narrative coming out of that game is when they're healthy up front, look out.
Mm-hmm. Key, do you think the defense can actually carry Dak and the Cowboys to a Super Bowl? Can the defense do it?
Key, I love the way that's framed, right? Carry Dak. Like, it's almost as if like Dak has had a horrible year and the defense is going to have to do everything. Like, isn't a season about ebbs and flows, guys? Like, do we forget that because we get lost in this microcosm where we want to break down every single?
Yes,
because
we do this every day.
What happens is sometimes when your offense isn't clicking, your defense rises to the occasion and you find ways to win games. There are other times where the defense hasn't been clicking and the offense has carried the defense.
I'm being a prisoner of the moment, and the question stands.
Here's what I would say is, first of all, Max has a cowboy disease, and – anytime he says something about the Cowboys, I take it with a grain of salt.
Achoo.
And I try to educate him to get him to understand. The Cowboys certainly can win and go as far as the Super Bowl with the defense as they continue to get better. The problem is Dak Prescott has to fix the problems that he's had over the last two games. Two games. Don't get to talking about, well, what did they do against the Broncos? He played well in the second half against the Broncos. He was coming off his injury and set out the game prior to that in Minnesota, and Cooper Rush won that game. So let's be honest with each other when we start talking about these things. He's played bad in the Saints game. They still won. And he played bad at the end of the Washington football game. Ill-advised throw like Mike Tannenbaum talked about and didn't see the linebacker pushing to the tight end on the crosser and threw the pick. If he fixed that and cleans that up much like Patrick Mahomes was doing, and he cleaned it up and hasn't thrown a pick in quite some time, they're winning games, and they're going to be in the hunt to go to the championship in the AFC, and Dak Prescott and the Cowboys can do the same.
So just live in my fantasy for a second. Let's say he doesn't clean it up. Given all the weapons on this team, the Cowboys lose their first playoff game.
Then his ass is going to be on fire.
Exactly. On fire.
1,000%.
But it's not going to happen because that defense won't let it. Sorry to.
But we wanted to live. Max wanted us to live in his world, though, Mike.
Yes, live in my fantasy.
He wanted us to be negative on the Cowboys all the way around.
In my fantasy, the Giants are good and the Cowboys are terrible. But I do see what you mean about getting those healthy guys back. When you have a guy, and Diggs carried it early in the season, what I did notice is he never got to the level of guys stop throwing at him. To me, that's even better than the picks.
But that's why you get picks. Max?
Right, right. But what I'm saying, Key, is the next level is they stop throwing your way.
Hey, as Mike would tell you, having drafted Darrell Revis, they didn't throw at Darrell Revis after a while because they realized it wasn't going to go well. Deion Sanders, they realized, that's probably not going to go well, so we're not going to throw at him.
Mike, let me ask you, if the Bucs and the Packers are in the upper echelon of the NFC, and then say in this next little group, you got the Cardinals, you got the Cowboys, you got the Rams who are there. If you had to rank those three about who would contend with the Bucs and the Packers to the best, to push them to potentially get there, how would you rank those three?
Yeah, I would still say the Cowboys are number one and then the Rams after that. I mean, the Rams really surprised me last night. They showed up. I thought the first play of the game sent a message like Aaron Donald's like, you want to see greatness, fellas? Watch this. And he took Max Garcia.
And
Kyle Murray had a couple of bad plays as well. But I think when we do this analysis, like which teams can be ascending, if we were here 3 weeks ago, I would have said, hey, look at that Cowboy defensive line. And now, to me, the three most consequential players left to impact the pennant races are Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, and Derrick Henry. If those three players come back, it could impact Tennessee and Green Bay. And that's why, like, Green Bay to me is a team that if they're healthy on defense, they're going to be hard to stop. And I think Green Bay and Dallas to me are clearly the two best teams in the NFC.
Even Green Bay and Bakhtiari back.
Jay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Did you get your answer?
I got my answer.
Okay. Mike, I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure.
I got it.
Doesn't
mean I have to agree with it, but I understand.
I just wanted to make sure you got your answer.
So, Mike, last night, because you picked Arizona big, so okay, has so that changed your.
What happened?
I fell to 12 and 3.
No, I'm not pointing that out. You've gotten the mostly right. But, I mean, has that changed your worldview on Arizona's chances?
I love Vance Joseph. I work with Vance in Miami. I think he's a great coach, a great leader. He should be a head coach again. I think that defense had a bad night at the office. And Kyler Murray, like, threw one pick was a tip, and the other one was a bad play, bad throw that Leonard Floyd made a great play. What's weird to me, guys, what I don't understand is their losses are all at home. That makes no sense to me.
NFC West. I'm telling everyone, it's like the NFC West powerhouses losing
at
home.
Three.
See, I think
they're 10-3
with three losses at home.
I think three losses at home and 11 turnovers at home. But I think their biggest problem is going to and look in the end. If your Dallas Cowboys, your LA Rams, your Tampa Bay Bucks, and your Green Bay Packers keep him on the right and the left shoulder of the tackles and don't let him get outside of that, it's going to be a long day for Arizona. It's going to be a long day.
You know how I have cowboy disease? Key has height disease. He does not like short players. Yes, yes, he's tall.
Max,
I know. Every
Max,
day, I know all about
it's not, it. It's not a height disease. You know what it is?
What is it?
It's a, I can see it with my eyes. He's in
it's
the
a reality
pocket.
Disease? It's a, you can see are you telling us it's a reality disease?
You can see yes. over the small guy?
You tipped it. Aaron Donald is slightly taller than Kyler Murray, and he was able to tip his pass. But Aaron Donald ain't 6'7".
No.
But okay, so he's tipping that ball. It's a pick going the other way. But Leonard Floyd is 6'5", with a wingspan that takes him to 6'9". So now you try to throw over that. That means you got to throw the ball 8 feet in the damn air.
But, Key, you know this. If Drew Brees or Russell Wilson was on, they would tell you that you, when you're their size, you have to look for lanes to throw.
Lanes, absolutely. Lanes.
And you want a firm pocket. Ironically, one of the keys, like if we had Dante Scarnecchia on, Dante was the 22-year offensive line coach for the New England Patriots. What Tom Brady wanted, he wanted a firm pocket. And even though he was 6'5", he still wanted a firm pocket to step up. And those guys need firm pockets with lanes.
Don't hurt to be tall. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Tannenbaum says there's a way to fix things for Urban Meyer before he becomes Urban Fired.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Any single day that's spent with Urban Meyer as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars is a lost day.
It's hard to say that the man gonna be done just because he got into a tit for tat with a bunch of assistant coaches.
That locker room's not gonna change. Urban Meyer's not going to change.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, podcast.
Play that, Yates.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. So, before we get to Urban Meyer, you heard it in the SportsCenter update. Van Jefferson's 54-yard TD, there was a little something extra last night because his dad, Sean Jefferson, is the wideouts coach for the Rams. Mike T, what do you think Sean Jefferson's... Sorry, for the Cardinals. He's the wideout. That makes a big difference. He's the wideout coach for the other team, the Cardinals. So, Mike, what do you think Sean Jefferson's reaction was to that touchdown?
Oh, he'd be angry as all can be. And I had the privilege of working with Sean in Miami. He is the toughest, most competitive guy you could ever meet. He'll congratulate his son sometime next July. But if he lost one rep against, you know, a one-on-one at practice, like, he was out there coaching in cleats. So knowing Sean, what a great dad and coach he is, all he cared about was winning the game. And I'm sure he's deep down, though, immensely proud of not only the player that Van Jefferson is, but much more importantly, the person. And I got to know Van over the years, and Van is a first-class person who's going to have a great NFL career. But there's no doubt he was pissed in the moment.
Part of a
yeah, he's supposed court. To be, because I'm going to talk that noise to him. I'm going to tell him I beat that ass.
I'm on him
every time we get a chance. I just bomb them sorry DBs y'all got. He know it's coming. If it didn't come after the game, you know, that's one thing. His blood is always thicker than water. But in that situation, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk that noise.
Yeah, anyone who ever had a dad who – like, growing up, beat you at everything and let you know about it. When you start to beat dad at stuff, you let him know about it.
I actually think Van got a chance to be better than Sean.
You know, this was quite a receiving core in L.A., especially when Robert Woods gets back eventually. That he got some guys. Jacksonville Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, as you heard in the SportsCenter, by the way, said, let me go over this again, he will not make a hasty decision. Nor will he be swayed by emotion when it comes to Coach Urban Meyer. He didn't say, that's my coach, end of story. Now look, he's obviously not happy with a 2-11 record in Urban Meyer's first season, but he said Monday, and there's a reason you draft first overall, right? He said Monday that he'll do what he's done with every coach he's hired, which is fire them. No, which is take a look at all the facts, speak with as many people as possible, and then make a rational decision on what course of action to take, if any. Key, that means fired in Shad Khan language, apparently, since he's fired all the other coaches. Take a look at all the facts, speak with as many people as possible. Hey, what happened? Weren't you working there the other day? From now on, instead of being fired, when people are fired, say, no, they took a look at all the facts, they spoke with as many people as possible, and they made a rational decision on a course of action. I want to do the right thing for the team, said Shad Khan. I want to do the right thing for the city. That, to me, is way more important than just acting helter-skelter on emotion. I think we have a history of really looking at facts and really doing the right thing. Gus Bradley was here 4 years. Doug Marrone was here 4 years. If it was wins and losses, and this is a little bit different, but, you know, I'm going to reflect on all that and do what's the right thing for the team and the right thing for the city. He said the right thing for the team and city, Mike, like 5 times.
Right, and I know I'm in the vast minority here. I would keep Urban Meyer.
Thank you. Thank you. You're not in the minority on this show.
What? Says the disciple of Mike Krzyzewski, who struggled early in his Duke years and sees the benefit of patience. Here's what I would...
Not comparing Urban Meyer to Mike Krzyzewski, but go ahead.
Oh, I thought we were going there first.
We're on the same page, but
hold on. Yeah. Key, hold on. Give me a second here.
I love that you think that's Key's voice and it's not.
Oh.
What?
I thought that was Key. Hold on.
Let me just kind of sound like Key.
Urban Meyer was a great coach at Bowling Green. He got more out of that program than anybody. He was a great coach at Utah. And, look, Florida, Ohio State, any one of the four of us could be a good head coach here. We know that. All I'm saying is the most disappointing thing was a couple weeks ago, someone said, hey, coach, how come James Robinson is not playing more in short yards? And his answer was like, well, I'm not a micromanager. You got to go ask Coach Schottenheimer. And Bill Belichick, all the great coaches that we know, that's what they are. That's the job description. You have to be in every drill, every game plan meeting, and you have
he didn't know who was out on the field for his team.
Yeah, yeah, not acceptable. So I want the Urban Meyer of Bowling Green and say, hey, you have to outwork everybody. You have to. We need that guy with passion. His body language is terrible. The way he shook Mike Vrabel's hand. It's that old expression. How you do anything is how you do everything. And my biggest concern is this, and I know this from working for both the Jets and Miami. I said to the front office in Miami, guys, every time we're on the phone with any player or any agent, we should talk about the weather and no taxes. Jacksonville should be a destination. Right, Key? Like, you know about paying a lot of state income taxes. You love paying California taxes. I wouldn't. I digress. Anyway, my point is, if I'm Jacksonville, I am making sure that this is an absolute destination. And that is going to be the biggest concern. What players are going to want to go there next year?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and the history of Shaq Khan as the owner. He's fired four coaches, as Max alluded to in his intro. Not only that, he also terminated the services of one Tom Coughlin, historical coach in Jacksonville, and then became a front office guy after his tenure in winning Super Bowls with the New York Giants. They decided to move on from him because of all of the things that was happening and players saying they did not want to come and play in Jacksonville. And that's important to the Jacksonville Jaguars, not only the fan base, but the ownership group. And when you think about it, this offseason is extremely important for them. Not only with the most recent things, but also when you go back to Chris Doyle, and some of the things that happened in that situation. And you know the makeup of the NFL teams is African-American, a majority of them. So when you look at that and you're trying to sell that to players in free agency, they don't look at that. Plus what he did to James Robinson, even though he claims he didn't know, I haven't been around enough damn coaches and to know that they know every person on the damn team and who gets what reps and who's in and who's out. And then on top of that, you getting into an argument with Marvin Jones. Players ain't going to like that. So if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm moving on. I'm cutting my losses. If it's $60 million bucks I owe you, I got 30 for you. You can go coach in college or go work back in television. But I can't move this train forward another year, because another year is wasted time for me based on everything from beginning to where we are today. You can finish the season while I finish looking for my next head coach.
Listen.
Can I just ask a question, the key?
Well, not a question. You can make a statement, because we got to get out of here.
All right.
We can do it on the back end when we come back, Matt.
Well, the challenge is this. You do that. Who's going to want to go there? Because now all of a sudden – What coach that's going to have viable options and going to say, boy, that's a real stable situation?
A coach who wants to coach in a National Football League that has a brain on his shoulders is 32 teams, and you know that, Mike.
I would have a difficult conversation with Urban and just say, look, the leash is short here. We got to get all these things cleaned up, and I want a detailed plan about your work ethic, your attention to detail, your body language, your energy, your judgment on Chris Doyle, and I would work very hard to try to fix those things before I would have the other conversation.
Only one thing I would correct anyone on is, just like on this show, we don't argue, we just agree with different points of view. He didn't fire four coaches, Key. He took a look at all the facts, spoke with as many people as possible, and then came to a rational decision on a course of action with four coaches. It is bound to be a record-breaking night at MSG, or is it?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
He has redefined past tense, the way the game is played in the position. Right. He's the best pure shooter we've ever seen.
We were really tracking him to see if he'd make 16 threes in the game. It just lets you know how freaking amazing this guy is.
Steph Curry is on the brink of breaking Ray Allen's all-time three-point record. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Steph was 5 of 15 from downtown last night in the Warriors' 102-100 win at the Pacers. He has not been hitting threes at his normal pace in the last couple days. Clearly that record, it's got to be on his mind. It's got to be on his mind. I mean, first of all, we were like, he can hit 17 threes today. I was really thinking, oh, maybe he'll do it. It's crazy expectations. But now, look, he's at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. The Warriors are going to take a Tuesday morning flight to New York after spending Monday night in Indianapolis due to plane troubles. So here's Steve Kerr on what he thinks the atmosphere will be like at MSG.
What do you expect the environment at the Garden to be like tomorrow going on the line with Steph?
Well, I'm resting Steph tomorrow, so...
Is that true? Are you excited for Curry?
No.
Just so we're clear, you're not.
There's a good chance Steph will play tomorrow.
Steph is 9-1 lifetime at Madison Square Garden career. He does have a loss, guys. February 27th, 2013, but he hit 11 threes in that loss and scored 54. That's a Knicks fan's dream, right? Let Steph go off but win the game. This is what the Knicks have become. And it's only taken roughly 25 years of however many years Jim Dolan's been. An organization whose claim to fame is that they play in an arena where other great players from other franchises look forward to coming and breaking records and setting the world on fire. So do Knicks fans want to see Steph break the record at MSG at this point? Right? Do Knicks fans want to see that?
Probably. So they could have something else to talk about.
I'll tell you this, Key. Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see how many more fans will be in the Garden tonight for Steph and Curry as opposed to pulling for the Knicks. And I know the Knicks always have a great fan base and they show up, but Steph is one of these guys. It's a traveling circus behind him.
Well, the Beatles,
to a degree.
The fans, the Knicks fans are going to turn into Steph Curry fans because Steph Curry is a person that his personality lends itself to you rooting for him despite you being a fan of the opposing team. It's just that's who he is. You know, you every now and then you get a handful of players in professional sports that no matter what, when they come to town, it's about them. It's not even about your team. Hey, if we win, great. But if not, at least I got to see Steph Curry ball out.
You know, I was thinking about this before. Out of all the superstars we have in a lot of leagues, maybe Patrick Mahomes would be on this level too. But Steph is a little bit different, because you can always see his face all the time, even though you know what Patrick Mahomes' face looks like. But is he the most likable superstar in North American sports? I know he is in the game of basketball.
Is Steph Curry
You think Steph is more likable than Lillard?
Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
I think
he's more likable than LeBron. I think he's more likable than Kevin Durant.
When you say likable,
LeBron's likability is a little bit different, right? They like him. I mean, they hate him.
But they also love the.
But they like him and won't tell you they like him.
But you know what, though, Key? Like him going down to Miami, the way he went down to Miami, even though he came back to Cleveland, then going to L.A., like there are fractions, I think, of the country that look at like either you love LeBron or some people hate LeBron, right?
But see,
I don't feel that same kind of venom with Steph Curry.
No. Steph Curry is like a box of cereal, man. It's good regardless to what flavor it is. That's how he is. He is so good that people, no matter what building you in, they going to root for him.
That's what I'm
they
saying.
They also root for LeBron, but they not going to tell you they rooting for him, but they rooting for the beauty and the art in which they seeing in him. They would rather watch him lose to poke fun at him, but when he wins, they accept it and be like, yeah, you know that guy that I don't like, Jay Will, but then at the end, when you walking through the tunnel, he's like, man, can I take a picture with you?
Yeah, because that's the LeBron love. You're watching one of the best players to ever play the game, and I get that, but it's more so like when you, even if you're an opposing fan, like if you're a diehard Knicks fan, you're not coming to tonight's game like, man, it's Stephen Curry.
No, but Steph, the reason I bring up Dame, and he hasn't done it in the finals. He hasn't Dame been on could, a good enough team.
I think
team.
The market that Dame's in doesn't really lend to that.
Steph has not come through in the finals like he normally comes through when he's on. It just hasn't happened, Jay. I'm not hating. I'm just
not
telling
saying
you what
that
it,
you're not hating. I just don't know why you go there. It's like,
the reason I go there is
one
part of,
small piece that you think he's
because
missing.
Part of likability for fans, it's like who you root for, has to do with do you think they're going to come through. He's had too many sloppy performances when it's mattered most for me to say that's the most like, that's the most rootable player or like player.
You can
player.
Keep saying it. Man has three world championships.
Zero MVPs in the finals, though.
Well, two of them he played with Kevin Durant.
I was about to say, didn't he play with a dude named Kevin Durant and then Iguodala had an amazing final?
The reason they gave it to Iguodala is because Steph really wasn't his normal self and LeBron was so good. They were like, well, we can't give it to Steph. Let's give it to the guy who guarded LeBron.
Okay, so wait, time out. I'm going to break down your argument here, Max.
We have 1 minute.
That's fine. Well, we can carry this on then. So you're telling me the reason that you're holding against Stephen Curry is because two of the finals MVPs went to Kevin Durant, who's going to be a top 10 greatest player of all time. And then the other MVP went to Iguodala because he guarded another player who's going to be considered top two greatest player of all time. So that's what you're holding against Stephen Curry.
No. There are other things, too. Like Game 7 at home, greatest record ever, last 422 of the game. They didn't score a point. Steph was afraid to shoot it, shot it, missed it, threw the ball out of bounds behind his back pass. He had a lot of
Max
sloppy
I'm going to let Max dive in that ocean by himself.
He did. I'm not. It's not that I root against him. I thought they were going to win that game. He hasn't on the biggest stage when it mattered most. He's never been a finals MVP. And by the way, he's also a top 10 player, according to Jay Will.
I think he's right
okay,
there. He'll be right there when it's all said and done.
So, and I'm rooting for him to do what you're saying. I'm just saying, when you talk about the most likable, usually those guys have come through under pressure.
I'll be able to do it.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.